The content shared on Your Life, Your Wealth Network reflects the views of the host and guests of the program only and are not necessarily the views of Cordasco Financial Network or its advisors. This media production is educational in nature and should not be construed as financial, legal, or tax advice or a solicitation or presentation of sale of any financial products or services. Please consult a professional prior to making any financial, tax, or legal decisions.
Welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth Network, helping you find clarity and comfort for your life and wealth. Now, here's your host, financial advisor and CEO of Cordasco Financial Network, Steve Cordasco.
And welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth Show. I'm Steve Cordasco. Got a lot to cover. More or less government involved in your retirement planning. You want to listen to what I have to say, because yes, the government wants to take over your retirement plans. Next, we're going to talk about gray divorce. Yeah, the largest population pool getting divorced today happens to be those close to retirement or in retirement. So you think it's the golden years and you see all the folks who are going to venture off on cruises together. They're sitting on the beach holding hands. What we're finding is that some are saying, hey, I want to go on the cruise with that other person, or you don't like the beach, I do, so I'm going with someone else I know. We'll talk about that and what it means to you and your money. And we're also going to talk about the relationship between your wealth and your health. The two seem to have some correlations going on. We're going to talk about it. And then we'll finish out with talking about the markets, the volatility going on in the markets. We're going to put it into perspective, and you're going to be able to apply what's happening within the markets, the ups and downs, with what's happening to your money that is in the markets. So you want to keep it here. We got a great show coming up for you. Let's jump in. I want to talk about something that's very, very important, because there's a lot of noise being made, but the media is not focusing on this noise right now. And it has to do with our retirement plan, whether it's a 401k, 403b, an IRA account, or some type of retirement account you have with your employer. The government is making more and more noise about wanting to take control of the retirement system. That can be scary. You might say, well, they already control it. No, they control Social Security. But guess what? We also have these self-funded programs out there that you and I are supposed to be participating in. Bottom line is, people aren't participating in them, and people don't feel like they're having success who are participating. So the government now has an opportunity to jump in and control big pools of money, even bigger than what Social Security would be, because Social Security is only supposed to supplement these plans. We're hearing more and more about a certain group of politicians wanting to have a shift in the way we save for our retirement. It comes down to this, and this is where I want to go. The question is, do you feel the government can do better at helping us with our retirement? Should our employers be doing more to help us save, like going back to the old pension system where you retired and a check would come, or you'd have a choice of a lump sum? Or the current system, is it really not broken, but just needs to be tweaked? That's where we're going to go. The question I have to you is, do you want the government taking control of the country's retirement system? So in this particular survey through MetLife, they say a majority, 54% of Americans say they're primarily responsible for their own retirement security. We are still six times as likely to want companies to be more involved in retirement planning, 61%, versus 9% who wants companies less involved. The reason why I bring it up is because usually we have these multiple areas that we rely on for our retirement. One's going to be Social Security. And I know you're going to tell me, Cordasco, it's not something that we need to rely on. It's supposed to be something to supplement what we do for ourselves. Okay, whatever. I get it. But I got to tell you, there's a lot of Americans who view their Social Security as their retirement savings. We have Social Security. We have a self-directed program that if you're working, you can put money into. That's called your IRA accounts, individual retirement accounts. That's your own personal savings vehicle. The other one is a 401k plan or a work-related retirement plan. Back in the day, there were pension plans, and that was tied to the company as well. But here's the key with a 401k or 403b. It's still self-directed by you. The old days of having a pension plan, you didn't pick the investments. Money kind of went into this thing from your employer. Some of it came in the form out of your paycheck into this thing. The employer put some money in as well. When you retired, you sort of knew what was there because they'll offer you a lump sum payout of that pension, or you can put it into some annuity stream which comes in the form of a pension. But today, the 401k and these self-directed plans are where the majority of companies sort of go to help you save. And it takes the risk off of them because you're the one doing it. You're the one participating. And it's up to you. This is where the government has trouble because they're saying, hey, a lot of people don't want to participate in these things. A lot of people aren't preparing themselves. 74% of the respondents would rather set aside part of their salary into a company-sponsored retirement account versus 26% who prefer paying it into Social Security. Despite being the generation closest to retirement, only 14% of baby boomers said that they want the government to be primarily responsible for their retirement security. That doesn't surprise me that that generation wants more of their own control, less government, while 24% of millennials felt that way. So a lot more millennials want the government to be responsible for their retirement savings. Survey also found that people want a trusted partner who can help them navigate retirement security, creating an opportunity for companies to help their employees plan and save. And here's what I think makes us a little bit unique at Cardasco Financial Network, because when we handle a retirement plan, we focus on educating. I think employers need to focus more and put more pressure on those that have the business of the company of that retirement plan. Because your company doesn't put its own retirement plan in place. What happens, a company will shop for a retirement plan. When they shop and come to us, we go in and, depending on the profile of the company, the type of company, we're going to present what we think is the best plan because we're a fiduciary, so we have to act in the best interest of you as opposed to other organizations that don't have to operate as a fiduciary. We have to operate it what's best for you and the employees. That doesn't mean just giving you the plan that is the lowest cost with the best performance. We tend to go in a lot with Vanguard in our 401ks that we set up for companies. But that doesn't mean it stops there. We then need to put an education schedule together so where we can engage employees and get them motivated. It's the job of that group that wins that business to do it. Where we're falling short is that the employers aren't putting enough pressure on the Steve Cardascos of the world who set up a plan for their company. Not most financial advisors are fiduciaries. I'm part of a unique small group, a subsector of the whole financial planning space. So it begins with being a fiduciary. Here's my formula that I think gets us to a better place when it comes to helping people with their retirement dollars. If you're a company, you should be forcing that organization that has your company's retirement plan to work with your employees. And it comes in this four-structured approach. One, you got to educate. Education's important. Next is engagement. Get them engaged. Next, you got to make it fun. You got to have some fun things to do to make it look like it's not a chore to go to the quarterly or semi-annual retirement update. And then it's got to be measurable. This is what's so important. So politicians, if you're listening, keep your hands off our wallets. You don't need any more pools of money to control so that it fails later on, like you're telling us Social Security runs out in 16 years, or companies being underfunded in pensions because the money's all being used for something else, and smoke and mirrors getting the American people not to look that way. Keep your hands off our wallet. If you want to get involved with my industry. Make us accountable. And if you're an employer and you got a lazy so-you-know-what who's handling your retirement account, who doesn't come in, who doesn't engage your employees, who doesn't motivate them, fire them. It's not hard to do. Hey, tell me what you think. Should the government be involved more in our retirement plans? Should employers take on more responsibility? What is the best approach to this growing problem of an underfunded retirement for many of us? Ask Steve at CFNplan.com. I welcome your comments. It's Ask Steve at CFNplan.com. Love to hear what you have to say. Really, really would. To me, it's not that hard to do. Not that hard to do. Why isn't it being done? That's Ask Steve at CFNplan.com. You can also email me if you'd like to be a caller to the show. We're going to start taking calls in the near future. So if you think you want to be someone who wants to engage in the show when we're actually putting the show on, reach out. Ask Steve at CFNplan.com. And next, coming up, we're going to talk about gray divorce, why so many baby boomers and retirees are electing divorce. We'll get into it in just a moment.
Steve's back with more of Your Life, Your Wealth in just a moment.
Hi, it's Steve Cardasco. Do you have a question about wealth planning, taxes, or do you just need some thoughtful guidance about managing your money? I'll be answering some of your questions during upcoming Your Life, Your Wealth shows and podcasts. If you have a question that you'd like answered on the show, drop me an email to asksteve@cfnplan.com. That's asksteve@CFN, as in Cardasco Financial Network, plan.com. Include a brief overview of your question and a phone number where we can reach you to arrange a call to the show. So get your questions ready. Email me at asksteve@cfnplan.com. That's asksteve@cfnplan.com.
Now, more of Your Life, Your Wealth. Once again, Steve Cardasco.
I want to get into the topic of a gray divorce can devastate your retirement plans. Here's how. And this piece came from Michelle Singletary. She's been around for a little bit. She's at Post now doing her writing. But I think it's timely because I am seeing more and more that people are divorcing over the age of 50. So divorce for people 50 years of age and older is a growing trend. And I agree it's a growing trend. She showcases it. And I know because I'm in the world of money and people's lives. More than ever before in almost my 30-year career, am I seeing more and more people that are towards the end of their working career, heading into their golden years, the retirement years, those years where you've done raising the kids, getting close to paying the house off, education's out of the way, and it's time to grow together. You know, it's that wealth accumulation phase too, where all of a sudden it's like, okay, we can start putting away for ourselves. And then somebody says, I don't know if I want to go this thing with you the whole way now. Got another half of my life to live. Guess what? I'm not just not feeling it. Have you had friends that you know this has happened to them? Has it happened to you, maybe? It's interesting because it's at a time when divorce is becoming less common for younger adults. Frankly, because many younger adults just aren't marrying as much. But the so-called gray divorce is on the rise. Among U.S. adults ages 50 and older, the divorce rate has roughly doubled since the 1990s. Wow. That's according to a report last year by Pew Research Center. For people 65 years or older, the divorce rate has roughly tripled since 1990. Wow, that is absolutely amazing. Heading into retirement, more couples are calling it quits. Their children are now adults, and they decide they no longer want to be married. Or they're facing retirement. They're seeing another 20 or 30 years in the second season of their lives, and some couples decide that they would rather not spend it with each other. Yeah, done. Hey, I'm ready to move on. Don't have anything in common anymore. We did what we needed to do to raise the kids. You go your way, I'll go my way. We'll figure it out. The breakup of these marriages can have profound impact on retirement savings that are forcing people to readjust their plans. And it's a big impact. And I think many are not seeing it so clearly of what it could lead to. Here are some tips if you find yourself having to go through this. Because right away, if somebody says, hey, you know what? I think I'd rather go it alone, or, you know, we're just not feeling each other. We got another half of our life to live. Let's live it. You do your thing, I'll do mine. Well, normally, there's a division of assets. It's a divorce. It's a separation. One of the big things that happens is with retirement accounts, because usually when somebody's in their 50s or 60s, they've accumulated assets in retirement accounts. And what happens primarily, let's say it's the husband who was working and maybe the wife, and look, I'm just statistically giving you where the percentages lie, but for people who are in their 60s, there's a higher concentration that men have larger balances in their retirement accounts than women. Some women leave the workforce to help take care of kids. Their incomes might be lower, so therefore not putting it. And I'm not saying it's for everybody, and I just don't really need the emails saying, oh, you're politically incorrect. Yeah, sometimes I am politically incorrect. I'm just statistically giving you the math. And the reason why the math is important, because life's not fair. Not everybody's getting a trophy for their retirement account. Somebody's going to have more. So here's what happens in those retirement accounts. You need to find an attorney who specializes in qualified domestic relationship orders, which are quadros, QDROs. There's all these different terms of these things. They're qualified domestic relations order. That means the assets in those retirement accounts get divided up. The female of the relationship goes to work, and the man stays home, and she has more in retirement assets because of a 401k. He's entitled to his fair share of those assets, depending on the state, depending on the laws. That's why you need the attorney there. Unfortunately, all these property divisions, not just the IRAs, but you're going to go through it with real estate and any accumulation of wealth, they're going to have the same effect as starting to save too late in life. Because what happens is the blow to the financial household in a divorce is very much like saving too late in your retired years or suffering a major market loss. There's no longer enough working years to make up for the loss. The greatest financial fear for retirees, as I've been saying, is running out of money during their lifespan. A divorce in your later years substantially increases the risk of running out of money. How can that be? Well, let me share with you some of the things that we've seen. Financial advisors have seen couples spending $100,000, $200,000 in legal fees for a tug of war over assets. One financial advisor talks about $1.5 million in assets cost almost $200,000 of lawyer fees over a fight of who's entitled to those assets. Not uncommon. I've seen it, especially if there's a business involved or other properties where the household CFO says, well, this is what it's worth. And then the lawyer, the spouse, comes back and says, worth more than that. And then there's a fight back and forth. This is even kids' custody. Some would think getting divorced when you have children and custody things are more expensive. It can be just as expensive with assets. Particularly because older people, while usually not involved in long drawn out custody battles, have less time to rebuild financially, which means divorce can literally be a fight for your future standard of living. I don't know what it does to your quality of life. It's maybe you're thinking it's going to get better, quality of life. I don't have the ball and chain on me. But your quality of life's not going to be good as assets are being fought over because an attorney's going to whisper in somebody's ear, hey, wait a minute, you ain't getting enough money here to live the way you need to live. Because a lot of times the attorneys will call me and say, can you do some ballparking of how much this person's going to need to get by in their later years? And then that number is sometimes a pretty sizable number to maintain their standard of living or quality of life. See, that's why the attorneys go to standard of living, because that's more numbers oriented. Quality of life is less numbers oriented, but what you want to achieve. They want to put a number on it. Here's another tip. If you find yourself having to go through this type of situation, a divorce, in your later years, mediation. Mediation is a very good cost-effective way. It can be a lot less expensive. And oftentimes, if you've been together that long and you've endured a lot of the emotional things that have to happen, like decision-making with children, family members who have gone through health stuff, because usually there's a mom and a dad or on each side who, if you're in, I don't know, you're 60 going through a divorce, you've probably together with your spouse have had to help make decisions on taking care of other loved ones. So sometimes you're a little more rational before the attorneys can get in and really get you to fight for every nickel. Not that mediation solves all of that, it's often a much healthier way and financially sensible way to go about it. Let's look at another tip or strategy to help with a divorce in later years. Husband and wife together should learn what each wants out of their life to live their best life. This is what I try to do. If I find there's conflict, which has happened in my career, where I get a phone call from someone, and in this particular case, not long ago, it was somebody who had tears. He was very upset about the fact that it looked like after 40 years of marriage that divorce was going to come. And when you know people, and intimately know people, and you try to get to the root of what it is, and if somebody's sharing that with you because they're looking at it from the financial point of view, I try to take it to the why, the real root of why, what's causing it. Sometimes it's quality of life. Two people thinking they're not on the same page. That's why oftentimes I say it's very important to get a plan done where both individuals can talk about openly what their priorities are, what they want out of life, what they want their best life to be. Because what often happens is the financial side of the people helping you, financial advisors, brokers, whatever you want to call them, the confidants you have when it comes to your wealth, what they often do is they tend to talk to one person. It's easier to talk to the more vocal person, the financial CFO, as you would have it, whether that's a female or a male in the relationship. But that person usually comes into meetings, attends the phone calls with financial advisors, talking numbers. Oftentimes, there's a silent spouse who shuts down over numbers. You can usually see this if you're a good financial advisor, because a silent spouse participates 10, 15% of a conversation or a meeting. And guess what often happens? I've learned this over 30 years. There's somebody who's left. People that I've helped retirement plan 25 years ago when they were 60, how old are they now? 85, 88. Statistically, there's one left. You know what I often hear by the person who was that silent individual? I wish we did this. I wish we could have did that. They never had a chance to express themselves of what they wanted their wealth to do for them. So one thing I tend to find is that when I can get early on in a relationship that there might be something brewing where this somebody could be a statistic like we're just talking about, divorce is coming, it's important to really get to the root, to know the priorities of what somebody wants out of life. It starts with listening to what's important to you and what you want out of your life and how you want your wealth to be tied to that life. Sometimes couples are so busy with life that when life starts to slow down or there's a twist to come like retirement, downsizing of a house, moving to a warmer climate, or a change in the family dynamic, emotions cloud the decision-making process. Arguments form. Tension forms. Because it's a big major life event, now there's time to think it through, and I'm not so sure I want to do that. So one thing that's very important to help get in front of this whole trend that's taking place of the gray divorce, this baby boom population that is now close to retirement or in retirement saying, I'm done, is to get in front of it. And where in the past I would try to be reactive to it, and let's do a little bit of a sit down to make sure that everybody's on the same page. And by the way, that particular individual who was in tears, they ended up not getting a divorce. And we were able to take things we learned from things like that 12 years ago to apply it into practice. So one thing we try to do now, and hopefully you're able to do this too, is to find out what your priorities are and your significant other's priorities. And we do that in some exercises of asking separately what's important to each, learning how to communicate with a silent spouse so that it doesn't have to be held inside, not making it about a number, but how do you want your life to be? And understanding where blinders are for each individual, because blinders, when you can remove them and help somebody see something more clearly, it reduces anxiety and tension, which we're finding is one of the major triggers to the divorce of our seniors today. It simply comes down to being on the same page of knowing what you want out of life. And oftentimes, in raising the family and the busyness of life and kids and a business or whatever it might be, you forget how to communicate effectively about what you want, what it's all about. And many get to that burnout factor and think it's just going to be easier and more fun to do it on our own. Financially, that can be stressful. Emotionally, it can be stressful. And oftentimes, there's one individual that might be pushing in that direction There's oftentimes blinders. I said to someone a few weeks ago, do you really want to be with somebody new in your late 70s and early 80s when you have one of the best companions right here? And based on what they want out of life, it was very clear that the best choice was the person sitting next to that particular individual. It's just showing people what they want out of life, because guess what? They'll talk about it when it's tied to their wealth, if done correctly. So hopefully the world of money and those that help navigate the world of money, like myself, for people like you, can be in front of this. And instead of being reactive to it, proactive to it, so that people can see themselves in their 60s and 70s and 80s and what life will be like and what they want out of life, and will they be able to get what they want out of life with the wealth they have. And wealth is not just all about money. It's about your assets and your resources. And sometimes that spouse sitting next to you, you might look at as a liability, but if you can remove some blinders, you might see it as an asset like you did when you started this whole thing. So think about that. Hopefully it's a trend that'll reverse, or we'll watch it. And maybe it's a trend that's going to grow, and maybe people's quality of lives will get better. Tell me what you think. Did you go through a divorce in your later years? And tell me what it was like. Was it a good thing for both or a bad thing? Did you become more financially strapped, or did both of you become best friends and live your best life and double dated with the new friend, spouse, couple, whatever it might be? Ask Steve at CFNplan.com. Love to hear from you. Ask Steve at CFNplan.com. Coming up next, your wealth and your health, how the two tie together. You'll want to learn more. Keep it here on the Your Life, Your Wealth show.
Steve's back with more of Your Life, Your Wealth in just a moment.
Hi, Hugh Hewitt here. Do you know that more than half of Americans would rather discuss politics, religion, or even death instead of their personal finances? Is that you? Does your financial advisor talk at you or with you? When was the last open and honest conversation you had with your advisor? My good friend Steve Cordasco and his team of advisors at Cordasco Financial Network go to the next level to communicate the complicated world of money with you. Not only will Cordasco Financial Network help with your wealth, but CFN also educates and provides clarity for you to live your life. Call Cordasco Financial Network right now at 215-558-3500. Again, that's 215-558-3500. Planning for your financial future takes a team, so call Cordasco now at 215-558-3500. With Cordasco Financial Network, you are in good hands. This is Hugh Hewitt, and I recommend you give Cordasco Financial Network a call at 215-558-3500 or visit them online at cfnplan.com.
Now, more of Your Life, Your Wealth. Once again, Steve Cordasco.
You may have heard the news, but your financial health may have more bearing on your physical health than you may realize. And what we're finding is that more American adults who experience a sudden and substantial loss of wealth were 50% more likely to die in a 20-year period than others at their age group whose financial picture remained relatively stable or improved. Where's that come from? Well, it's findings that were published in the Journal of American Medical Association, where they suggest that you should treat your bank account as a vital sign, looking at your personal financial health as a vital sign. Same goes for the value of your stock and bond investments, your individual retirement accounts, your home, your vehicles, your business, other substantial assets where you put your wealth. Researchers tallied up all these things for a group of, are you ready for this, more than 8,700 Americans who participated in this health and retirement study. That is a massive population study. Huge. Over 8,700. Look, for medical studies, for drugs and new developments, a large population study is more than a couple hundred people. You get to 1,000, and that's a big population study for healthcare reasons. Life-saving drugs, different stages of the drug cycle to bring something to market. You study 1,000, that's big. This is over 8,700 Americans that participated in this health and retirement study. They were born between 1931 and 1941, and they were tracked through 1994 until death of 2014, whichever came first. So what do we have here? A whole bunch of baby boomers. This study's authors calculated the net worth of each of those participants in 1994. They updated the figure every year. People were judged to have experienced a negative wealth shock if their, ready for this, net worth fell by 75% or more over a two-year period. Now, wow, right? I see the eye. Whoa, that's a big drop. 75% or more over a two-year period. Out of 8,700 people who were studied, guess how many had that much of a wealth drop that got hit by 75% loss of their net worth or more over that two-year period? Guess how many? Over 2,400. What? I hear you saying, what are they doing that they could actually lose that much money? That's about 1 in 4 in the study. It doesn't shock me, as it might be shocking you. Why? Because I spent most of my life dealing with people and their money, and I see it happen. Among those that got hit, their median loss was about 92% of their net worth. 92%, which amounted to a value of about a little over $100,000. This sudden loss, they feel, could have caused stress, inflammation, high blood pressure, any of which could make serious cardiovascular problems more likely. The study's authors were sure to make note of that. In addition, a financial blow of this scale may well have prompted people to skip important but expensive medical appointments or stop filling necessary but pricey prescriptions. That happens a lot. So what you have here is kind of socioeconomic classes, and if someone lost $100,000, if that's almost 92% of their net worth, you can see there's not a whole lot of margin for tolerance for a loss, and it's real easy to start to cut things out because you get down to a poverty level. So let's look at it more. The health and retirement survey data didn't provide much for the researchers with clarity on these points, but it did show that the mortality rate was more than double the mortality rate for those in the financial stable group. After the researchers adjusted for factors such as race, age, education, body mass index, smoking status, the risk of dying was 50% higher for those who experienced this negative wealth shock. That's impactful. This was a big enough study to say, you know what? There's something here. Okay, Cardasco, now what? Now that you just took this sunshine away from me on this beautiful day, now what do I do with this? Well, there's something you can do, because you don't want to be in that position of subjecting yourself to be able to take that kind of hit. Where does a hit like that come from? If we take a look at the correlation between substantial wealth loss and death, this kind of magnifies what we've been saying for a long time, and that is the number one fear people have when they're transitioning in life, maybe going into retirement, making a career change, whatever it might be, but especially retirement. The number one fear people have in retirement, and you got to remember, this study was done over a period of time. Much of the people who experienced this hit, you know, it did take place in their adult lifetime, in their later years. The number one fear people have heading into retirement is running out of money. So how do you avoid this? My advice is this. Here's what we do when we look to guide and show people the way of making these decisions in life, to helping people understand how their wealth ties to their life. What we do all the time for people just like you is we break down what we can control and what we can't control, and apply it to you. So it's what you can control and what you can't control. So let me go through a few things in doing this approach. And it all begins with the right type of planning. And I don't want to say, oh, you need a plan that solves everything, because it does not. Many people feel they have a plan. It's not about the plan. It's about the guidance you get from the plan. You'll hear all kinds of stuff on radio each day. Get a plan. Have somebody look at your plan. Do you have a plan? What's your plan? 80% of the plans that I ever look at are a bunch of BS. It's somebody trying to sell you something said, I put a plan together. It's not about the plan. The plan sits in a drawer somewhere. And some people are so confused on a plan, they think, yeah, I have a plan. It's my retirement plan at work. It's that 401k. That's what they call a plan. No, this is a full financial plan based on your priorities and what you want to accomplish in life, because your wealth is tied to your life. But it's not just put in front of you and say, here you go. Here's the stack of papers. It's like your tax return. How many times have you ever gone back and relooked at that tax return? You don't do it. I know you don't after the accountant gives it to you. The plan needs to be worked. There needs to be guidance to the plan, somebody guiding through that plan with you. Here's how we often, in putting plans together and giving guidance to the plan, we want to make sure it's very clear that there are things you can control and there's things you can't control. Because when I look back to say, how does somebody lose 75% or 80% of their wealth or 90% of their wealth, to the point where 50% of those of you who might have that happen will die before or live less healthy than friends just like you who don't experience that type of trauma? It comes down to some things you can control, some things you can't. I'll give you a whole list of ways in which I've seen people lose that much money. And I got to tell you, I haven't come across many that have had happen in the stock market. I just have not. It's usually not the stock market. Now, look, I know the financial collapse caused many to fall in that category. I didn't seem to touch many of them. But even so, when it happens in the stock market, that's a lot of things you just can't control. So let's break this down. Here are some things that you can control: spending and your budget, your habits, work schedule, your lifestyle. Each of us are unique in our own way. And if we're putting a plan together for you, we're going to find out what your uniqueness is. What is it that you want from life? What are your priorities in life that you want to achieve so that you have your best quality of life and you live your best life? Knowing that, by giving guidance in that area to make sure it gets accomplished, spending, budgeting, habits, working. We talked before about retirement. Well, there's different types of retirement. It doesn't always necessarily mean you retire and that's it. You don't do anything else. And lifestyle. So where can somebody get in trouble with these? You know when most people lose their wealth? Often it's something they're doing. They're spending more than they can afford. They haven't budgeted correctly. They have habits that have grown over time that lead to risk. What are those habits? Maybe taking care of others before taking care of yourself, helping a loved one, splurging, thinking you need to keep up with the Joneses. Hey, they're taking a trip. They're doing a safari in Africa. Why can't we? They're taking all the grandkids to Disney. We should do that too. They bought a house at the shore. We should too. Somebody's retiring early. I should too. How about things you can't control, like the stock market, the economy, inflation, other people in your life? I can't tell you how many times the kids hit up the parents, you, or a friend, or a family member, or your parents may need money or need help. I'm not saying you don't, but you need to know the consequences of it. Like I said, I don't often see people losing 75% of their wealth over a two-year period, but those that do, here are some of the reasons that I see it. A business failure, bankruptcy, lawsuits. Family member needs help because there's a health issue, or they're struggling to make ends meet because they got in over their head. We're not saying you don't do that, but you need to know what it is, because that's where I've seen the biggest blow come, when somebody looks up one day and says, where's my money? And if they knock on my door and I start digging through and we do our work, we see that a lot of money went out to other places. Emotional causes, like excessive spending to feel better, because there might be some health issues, like mental health issues, addiction. And that comes in many forms. Could be gambling, could be drugs, could be alcohol. I've seen a situation where somebody lost a lot of their wealth over watching things online that they shouldn't have been watching, and it cost them a job and 3 years to get rehired. And that's a big blow, because when you start spending your own money to get by because you can't find work because of something that's happened, it's not the stock market. Best ways to protect yourself: have a budget, keep track of spending habits, and get a plan with someone who can guide you through that plan. So they can show things you can control and can't control. They can be a mediator in there to say, hey, if Johnny's hitting you up again for money and you're giving that much money out to Johnny because Johnny's got himself in a jam and I know he's your son or your nephew or whatever it may be, it could really hurt you financially, which then can hurt you from a health standpoint. And what good are you taking care of Johnny when you're not able to take care of yourself? What about the things you can control? So when it comes to the stock market, it's very important to risk analyze what you're doing and stress testing constantly what your investments are doing. So this way, if the market is going to be up and down and the seesaw, or I just heard somebody the other day, the market could be down 50%. I don't know if I agree with that. Anything's possible. But will you be down 50%? Hopefully not if you do it right. But right away, most people think, geez, down 75% over 2 years, what did they invest in? 9 times out of 10, it's not so much the investments. It's other things. How about the economy? You can't control that. Well, if you're a business owner, you need to risk analyze for protection against the unforeseen. What if things do get really bad? Where do you revert to? Do you have all your coverages in place? Do you have emergency cash? How about other people in your life? We just talked about that a little bit more, but the mistake of a loved one can end up costing you. Health expenses of other family members might fall on you, and that's okay. Your value system may say, I'm doing it. But guess what? The shock and surprise of what the consequence is by waking up one day and seeing your money down is what some could argue is the big health fallout. I often find if somebody's helping somebody else and there's a true value, moral side to that, saying they're a loved one and this is what I saved for a rainy day for, that can actually boost you. You can actually feel good. And when it comes time to downsizing and you sacrificing, that can actually give you a boost. We're not saying to do it, but this is what guidance can do for you in helping you talk through these things. Just keep in mind, helping others can cause financial stress to you, so it needs to be looked at. And there has to be an action plan for the guidance so that somebody who is helping you from a financial standpoint can make sure that you are seeing it from all directions and that you don't have blinders on to them wake up one day surprised that you've taken such a hit to your wealth that now you're in trouble. Because that trouble right now seems to be a correlation to health issues, to bigger things. So get a plan, not just a plan that is going to collect dust, but somebody who can help give you guidance to the plan and help you see things from all angles. Because now for the first time, this is a big study, it's showing that a major financial hit to your wealth will have a major impact to your life and the quality of life you live and ultimately the health side of that. Hey, if you want to learn more about what we're talking about, just send me an email, asksteve@cfnplan.com. That's asksteve@cfnplan.com. These are my solutions, or at least gets us a little bit closer to understanding the issue at hand. If you have ideas, pass them along, asksteve@cfnplan.com. And next, putting things in perspective, market volatility, what it means to you.
Steve's back with more of Your Life, Your Wealth in just a moment.
Hi, it's Steve Cordasco. Do you have a question about wealth planning, taxes, or do you just need some thoughtful guidance about managing your money? I'll be answering some of your questions during upcoming Your Life, Your Wealth shows and podcasts. If you have a question that you'd like answered on the show, drop me an email to asksteve@cfnplan.com. That's asksteve@cfn, as in Cordasco Financial Network, plan.com. Include a brief overview of your question and a phone number where we can reach you to arrange a call to the show. So get your questions ready. Email me at asksteve@cfnplan.com. That's asksteve@cfnplan.com.
Now, more of Your Life, Your Wealth. Once again, Steve Cordasco.
I want to take a few moments to talk about the markets and put volatility into perspective. If you go to the CFN website, that's cfnplan.com, the information I'm talking about is posted there, and it's called First Quarter 2018 Knowledge College, Volatility in Perspective. Let me put it into perspective volatility because it's got a lot of people really, really worked up with regards to the way we've started the year and the ups and downs of the market. In the entirety of 2017, we observed only 8 trading days when the S&P 500 was up or down more than 1%. Now let's put that next to what we know today. In the first quarter of 2018, we saw 23 such moves occur. Wow! When it comes to moves of greater magnitude, 2017 saw the largest daily move was down 1.8%. Think about that. For investors, the first quarter of 2018 was like a rude awakening. We all know volatility and risks are necessary evils to the capital markets. However, it's often difficult to judge what's normal and abnormal. So my question to you, was 2017 abnormal or is 2018 abnormal? We all tend to remember with greater clarity and assign more weight to recent events. This is a big behavioral finance finding. Behavioral finance has dubbed this phenomenon as recency bias, and it explains why many investors feel as if the start of 2018 was an outlier when it comes to volatility. Since the financial crisis, are you ready for this? There have been numerous years that have shown lower volatility than history would suggest. However, if we expand beyond recent memory and compare that first quarter in 2018 with past years, 2018 may shape up as being normal, with 2017 being an outlier. The number of 5% down years since 2000 is amazing. If I go back to 2000 and I look at the number of 5% down years, in the year 2000, we had 12. 2001, there were 11. 2002, there were 14. Remember, go back to last year, there was 1. Then volatility slows down. 2003, there were 4. 2004, there were 3. 06, there were 2. 07, there were 2. And then if we get to 08, there were 24. Ugly year. 2009 had 11. 2010 had 5. Bottom line is, if you look at this, investors experience a drawdown of an average 6 times per calendar year. We're coming off a year where we experienced it 1 time. I know it doesn't make us feel warm and fuzzy. We look at this and saying, oh my gosh, what's going on here? This is outrageous. I've never seen it like this. Yeah, you have. You're just not seeing it coming off of this extended period where you didn't see it. And what's happening is, since we haven't seen it in a little while, your account values have gone up. So now you put 5% down on those accounts. Let's just say you have a $1 million account. That's a big down day, losing 50 grand. But that's part of the process. You can't have it all going straight up. Doesn't work that way. The key is people think that they're losing their money. But if you've been in it a long time, you've had periods of time where you've lost $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $25,000, $30,000. I know everybody wants to revert back to 08. We still seem to have that pain point in our minds. But look at that. That's the outlier here. Doesn't happen that often. Very rarely. Maybe only once or twice in a lifetime. So put volatility in perspective if you can. How do you work with volatility? Stress testing your portfolio. That you're positioned correctly. Make sure you're allocated according to your own risk tolerance. And make sure that you're having somebody you can work with that can help you understand it. There are many tools. And if you don't know how to stress test a portfolio or stress test your plan with volatility, just reach out to me. Ask Steve at CFNplan.com. That's Ask Steve at CFNplan.com. And I'll show you some tools that can help you do that. Hey, thanks so much for listening to the Your Life, Your Wealth show. I'm Steve Cardasco. Please come back with us again. Listen to us next week. And if you would, share the Your Life, Your Wealth episodes with others. We have many of you writing that you send it to your kids, you send it to loved ones, you send it to others that you're able to talk about this stuff to. So feel free to send this information out, and we welcome more and more listeners to the Your Life, Your Wealth show. Make it a great week.
Thanks for joining us on the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. All of our shows are reproduced as podcasts and can be listened to on demand at your convenience. If you're interested in learning more about applying the principles we discuss to your personal financial circumstances, please visit Cardasco Financial Network at cfnplan.com or call our office at 215-215-215. 888-558-3500. We hope you'll join us again next time on the Your Life, Your Wealth Network.